Laudetur Jesus Christus. Praise be Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Abbot Circle podcast, presented by the Norbertine Canons Regular of St. Michael's Abbey.
I will turn my mind to a parable. With the harp, I will solve my problem. These are the words of the royal King David. The parables uttered from the sweet lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have the unique character of bringing to light some of the most unfathomable mysteries of man's redemption. They present a surface meaning which is generally understood by all, and when explained in secret, as to the apostles, they reveal an even greater mystery. Today's parable about the sower and the harvest is about the eventual judgment of both good men and evil men. But deep within the veins of the parable lies a rich meaning. In effect, this parable links the 7 days of creation to the eventual consummation of all things in the kingdom of heaven. How do we know this? Good men and evil men, like wheat and weeds, are graced with the light of the first day. They are enlivened by ambient airs of the second day. On the third day, God created lands, sea, plants, and trees, all to be enriched by his goodness. The sun and moon were given to man and plants alike for their growth and flowering. And on the fifth day, God made the birds of the air to uplift man's heart to the things above and to spread the seed of him who sows. On the sixth day, man was brought into this world, both good and bad. And it then causes us to wonder what might be the cause of the division between the wheat and the weeds, between good men and evil men. What separates the good, the bad, and the ugly? The very what it is to be wheat and weeds is contained in their seed. Within the seed is the germination or beginning, the full genetic makeup, the ability to adapt in difficult conditions during its growth, resistance to disease, and lastly, the propensity for fruit. The difference between good men and bad men is connected with their incorporation and perseverance in the church, which is initiated at their baptism, the seed ground of the Spirit. In the sacrament of baptism, we become members of the church militant, but it is through growth in the life of grace, which can be just as painful as purgatory, that good men and bad men are further joined or separated. This is likened to the church suffering. And lastly, there is the harvest, whereby the fruits of both good men and bad men will be weighed and judged. We will notice that the difference between good men and evil men is not whether they will suffer, but whether they will suffer with Christ. And our free gift of suffering in union with Christ is what determines the quantity of the fruit. Therefore, let's expand what it means to suffer with Christ in hopes that we can fuse our hearts with his sacred heart and bear much fruit. For just as all creation is groaning and is in agony until now, now the hearts of Christ's followers are deeply immersed in the surest way to perfection, spiritual poverty. One author says it like this: poverty of heart is not always very beautiful. It is not necessarily the fruit of ascetic virtues. It can be a physical or psychological handicap. But what renders a person incompetent in the eyes of the world is precisely that which can give a person access to the reign of God. If we say yes to God, we choose the narrow path that brings us the reign of God. One thing is central to the gospel: God became man to save the poor. Poverty and weakness are never an obstacle. He did not come for those who are well, but for those who are ill. When we are ready to not repress our poverty and anxiety, but to welcome it freely, Jesus can become what his name signifies: the one who saves. Brothers and sisters, we have to love Christ just the way we are. Our love of suffering comes about when we realize that if we were given any other cross other than the one we have, we would be forfeiting the gift that transforms us from weeds to wheat. Yet our suffering, even born with some level of fortitude, is nothing if it is not united to the suffering Christ. Why are we constantly trying to tear ourselves from the cross so that we might inherit the world, all the while leaving our sweet God to die alone? Instead, we ought to be Mary Magdalene's, with our arms embracing the limbs of the tree, kissing the feet of Jesus, and ready to die 1,000 deaths if he will simply kiss us with the kiss of his lips. We are not even St. John's, who merely look on with awe and gratitude, and we have not the strength to stand at the foot of the cross like the Queen of Heaven. Our place in this fallen world of loneliness and madness is to be curled up in the sweet embrace of the bloodied God-man. The Savior isn't thinking of his pain, though he feels it acutely. His every thought is for you, for your misery, for your losses, for your misplaced hopes, for your perceived failures, for your doubts about his existence, for your feelings of purposelessness. He hears it all, he feels it all, he lives it all. And he is madly in love with you. It is not that he loves his image in you, but rather that he loves your image in him. Like two mirrors reflecting perfection. So insane is his love that he would whisper softly into your ear, "Not my will, but your will be done." So closely united is the suffering soul to the suffering Christ, simply beyond words. We see that the reward of the elect is a perfect love story, forever written in the book of life. But what about evil men? Well, they won't admit that they need a Savior until they gnash and wail. And then the Savior that they will look for is themselves. As the great Augustine tells us, matters are so strange at your command that every disordered soul is its own punishment. Instead of kissing upon the Lord in love, they will grind down their teeth in bitter envy. The perennial problem is simply that we need a Savior. And the melodic voice of Christ in his parable says, I am he. So let us turn our minds to a parable and with the song of our hearts, wed ourselves to the bridegroom in his agony and pain. Then we will solve our problem.
Thank you for joining us on the Abbot's Circle podcast. May God bless you.